Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithSeán O'Rourke.
For some couples in long-term relationships, the decision for him to have a vasectomy and become sterile, particularly after having a family, can be straightforward. Some people may feel their family is complete, where others may feel that they don't want a family at all. Now, equally, for some people, the issue is more complicated. It can be a daunting decision for many men. In a few moments, we'll talk to a man who underwent the procedure in June, and we'll talk to other experts. But first, our reporter Brian O'Connell asked some men on the streets of Cork if they would consider having a vasectomy.
Personally, I wouldn't consider getting a vasectomy, no. Probably because you'd never know what life throws at you. And the beauty of fatherhood is just that beauty.
You a father yourself?
I am indeed, yeah. I have a 14-year-old daughter.
And do you think there's an age beyond which you shouldn't become a father?
Not if you have enough money, it's not.
If you're in a long-term relationship with someone and if they asked you to get a vasectomy?
I wouldn't consider it. Never consider it. The beauty of making love is just that beauty.
Would you ever consider getting a vasectomy?
Yes, I did. About 20 years ago. Never regretted it. Very happy with the results.
20 years ago, that would have been at a time when maybe it wasn't as popular.
I had to wait a few weeks, so I think it was quite popular then. There was a few people I know, a few friends of mine had them.
Did it ever cross your mind that you might end up in another relationship?
No, never. Never. No, wouldn't be allowed. Never came into my head, no.
And what was the reason for getting?
I suppose it was the age I was at, and we just decided we didn't want to have any more children, and it was probably the cleanest way to do it.
You would have been in your 40s then, would you?
Early 40s. Late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah. Late 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were still quite a young man.
Yeah, but I had the children at that stage, so.
And what difference has it made to your life? Without getting too graphic, it's a morning show.
Convenience.
Would you ever have considered getting a vasectomy?
No.
Why not?
I just wouldn't fancy it. The whole concept is sort of painful.
I can see your whole body is kind of retching there a minute I said it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely.
But obviously you'd be under anaesthetic, you probably wouldn't feel
yeah,
a thing.
Yeah, more than likely, but no, never did. It's another form of contraception anyway, isn't it?
It's a sort of a final form of contraception, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah, yeah.
Probably saves you a lot of money on contraception,
I'd imagine. Yeah, true.
Would you ever consider getting a vasectomy?
No, no.
Why not?
Well, number one, I'm too old. And
but cast your mind back to
I will,
years.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't, no. You never know what lies ahead. You could be happily married one day, you could be separated the next, so I wouldn't take that chance. I know one particular family, they're 22.
22 children?
22 children, yeah, yeah. So he could have done something all right.
Would you ever rule out having more children?
Not at my young age, I wouldn't.
What age are you?
38.
Be honest.
48.
And I suppose people always point to Michael Collins. I think his father was well into his 70s.
70-odd, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if Michael Collins' father had got a vasectomy, Cork wouldn't have had a hero.
And Ireland wouldn't be free.
Men in Cork, or some men in Cork, talking there to Brian O'Connell. Bill and Anne, good morning to you. You're in our Cork studio.
I am indeed. Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you were writing in the Examiner last week about undergoing this procedure quite recently. Tell us about it and why you did it.
I had the procedure done on June 6th of this year, and I suppose there was a couple of reasons behind choosing to go ahead and have it done. My wife and I have three children already. My daughter, Katie, is 11. My son, Alex, is 6. And Andrew, the baby, the family, is going to be 1 on Saturday. And we had it all neatly organised. We were having 5 years between each child so that they could have the time at home, you know, being the baby of the family. And then they'd go off to school and then the next one would sort of take their place. And that was all going according to plan. And then we discovered that we were expecting another little miracle. So my wife is currently expecting and we're due to have him, I think, on December 26th of this year.
And surprise or otherwise, Bill, are you happy about that little miracle that's perhaps unexpected?
I'm absolutely delighted. Yeah, it's absolutely. We are so fortunate. We're so blessed with the family that we have. You know, I'm quite open about talking about it. You know, we didn't sit down and think, and say to each other, okay, I think the time is right to have another child. Ideally, we probably would have left it a little bit longer if we'd wanted to. But now is the time. We're both in our late 30s. And if we were going to have another one, and it was definitely the time, I think, for
us. You're still in very early stages after this, Bill. Has it crossed your mind at all that maybe, you know, you'll have such fun with the next one that maybe you'll regret putting out, or at least closing off, the possibility of having a further little miracle later on in life? Or is that just it as far as you're concerned?
I think four is plenty. It is fantastic, but I'm aware that, you know, it's not always about the money, you know, it's not about the cash in your wallet. Often it's just about, you know, the love in your heart and the hours in the day, and finding the time to spend, you know, with each child sort of individually can be quite a challenge. And I think four is probably the tipping point for me.
We're talking obviously about a very sensitive area in several meanings of those words. Now, did you have any misgivings about going down this road?
I was extremely anxious, yeah, definitely, in the run-up to it. Just the thought of it kind of made me squirm, made me cross my legs. I was very uncomfortable about it. But I had seen my wife go through, obviously with 5 years between each child, I had seen her go through various contraceptives such as implants and the pill. And all of those have side effects, and they can cause mood swings, and they can cause, you know, different things. So I kind of felt that it was my time to take over this role, to, you know, as I said in the article, to be the protector in the family and to step up effectively. So I overcame my fears just about, and I got it done, and I'm glad I did.
Did you talk to any other men about what you might have been facing?
I did, and that was the surprising thing. I found that when I shared it with my colleagues, say in the workplace or with other men that I knew socially, there was actually a very large number of them had had the procedure done. There was that I am Spartacus moment where I said, oh, I'm thinking of having a vasectomy, and a bunch of guys that I work with all kind of said, oh, I had one, and another guy over there had one, and they sort of shared stories with me, and they sort of helped me calm down a bit and said, you know, you'll be okay.
Now, you opted for a particular form of vasectomy, which is, well, I won't say fairly recent because it's been on the go, I think, for some decades, but is it called what? No scalpel method?
No scalpel and no scar. So basically it's not very invasive, and as I said in the article as well, you know, the thought of no scalpel being involved was reassuring, to say the least. So there's just a local anaesthetic applied, you know, effectively a minor sort of tear is made in the skin, and everything is done through that. It's very small. I don't think I'd be able to find the scar if I looked for it, you know.
Yes, I read from some information given to me, it's not an incision with a scalpel. It's a piercing of the skin with a specialised pointed instrument called a hemostat. It's a kind of puncture, a tiny puncture. And as you say, you recovered from this very quickly. But what about the after effects?
For me, when I was talking to the doctor who performed the procedure on me, he was saying that he knew gentlemen who went out and they cycled 120 kilometres the next day. Or I know people who went kickboxing, they just, you know, said, oh, I just wore a cup and I was fine, you know, within a couple of days of it. But for me, I said I wasn't going to push myself. So I just, you know, it happened on a Friday. So I spent a couple of days just relaxing at home. It's very rare as a father of young children with three kids particularly that you get the opportunity to lie in bed for a couple of days. So I was going to take it. I was going to milk it. So I took to the bed for 2 days and I just relaxed and looked after myself. I was back in work Monday morning and I was back exercising and jogging and everything else within, say, about a week.
Right, so stay with us, Bill Linnan, there in our Cork studio. I'm also joined on the line by relationship expert Mary O'Connor, and also by a man who has performed several thousand vasectomies, Dr. Andrew Rinn, from his clinic in Clane. First of all, Mary O'Connor, what kind of situations and dilemmas do you come across in discussing this option with people?
First of all, it's lovely to hear it all being explained so clearly, and that's the general experience, that it is a very, very straightforward protocol, and that there are no side effects afterwards. I suppose what I see mostly would be when the guy is not willing to have one or is very anxious about having one. The burden of responsibility then being with the woman, and if she's going to have, you know, surgery to have tubal ligation or something like that, that's quite a major surgery as opposed to the very minor one that you've just been describing.
You must be something of a rare individual in the sense that I think you've been in a waiting room where this procedure, or at least with people awaiting this procedure. Tell us about that.
Well, I was just saying there that when my own husband was having one, it was many years ago now, and so I was all anxious to see what was going on, you know, just my natural curiosity. So I went into the waiting room with him, and there were a number of men all waiting, because it only took, you know, 10 minutes or something, and I'd already been there once before, because in those days you had to sign a form saying that you were agreeable to your partner or husband having the vasectomy. So anyway, I started to question the other, or just chat to them generally to try and get their stories and see what had led them to have a vasectomy and what were their fears and expectations. But I was met by many newspapers being put up over faces, and they just the men wouldn't talk to me. But I think it has changed now. You know, I mean, there's I didn't get his name.
Bill?
Yeah, he's speaking very openly, writing about it, talking to his colleagues about it. But in those days, it was something that people didn't really talk about. God, they could hardly talk about sex, let alone do a vasectomy, you know, so.
And what about the psychological effects? Do you think it's possible that there are some people that this just isn't suitable for, assuming they have no particular qualms of other kinds about going ahead with it?
No, I don't. I suppose they'd be a very extreme situation where somebody would actually have a phobia about medical people in general. But in all the years, I haven't seen anybody. Occasionally, somebody would have suffered some bruising. But psychologically, no. They've all said afterwards that they're particularly happy that they had it done. And I remember one couple that I was seeing, and he didn't want to come and see me at all, and the lady just came, and she was having, you know, quite severe sexual difficulties because of a fear of a further pregnancy. I mean, she'd had four or five at that stage, and she didn't want to have any more, and he was unwilling to have to do anything about it. The contraception was up to her. And so he eventually reluctantly came in to see me, and we did talk about it, and he said he didn't think that this was going to solve anything, that I was talking a lot of mumbo-jumbo. But he finally agreed that he would, however, go and have a vasectomy. And he did come back to me some months later and said, yes, you were right. It did lift her fear. It did lift her anxiety. And as I say, he was the one particular man who actually had some bruising, as luck would have it. But within a couple of days, he was fine again, you know. So I have never seen it have psychological scars afterwards. What I do see is the men, I think one of their biggest fears would be, you know, am I going to work properly afterwards? Am I still going to get normal erections, normal ejaculations, normal everything? That would be one of their fears. But I'm sure Andrew Rin will talk to you about
yes,
that.
Yes, I want to bring in Andrew Rin now. Good morning to you, Dr. Rin.
Morning, Sean.
You have carried out how many vasectomies?
Oh, nearly 30,000.
30,000?
Yeah, well, I was the first doctor in Ireland to do it way back in 1974 when I came back from Canada.
And are you still, as it were, on active service?
Yeah.
I mean, as somebody who's performing the operations, you're still providing that service, yes?
Yeah, indeed I am.
And what about, first of all, what about the cost?
Cost nowadays, well, during the, I think all vasectomies across Ireland brought down the cost during the recession, and we haven't put them up since. So we're looking at about €400, and that'll include everything, including the sperm count afterwards.
And we were talking there to Bill and Anne about the alternative procedure. Which one do you use?
I use the traditional incision with a scalpel.
Why have you chosen to stick with that? Is it because it's what you're most used to?
It's what I'm good at, and I'm not convinced that the non-scalpel is any better.
But maybe less invasive, and is it perhaps less painful?
Well, you've got to get into the scrotum some way, Sean. It doesn't matter whether you use a puncture or a scalpel. There's nothing wrong with a scalpel.
Well, now, if you've carried out 30,000 of them in the last, say, 35, 40 years or thereabouts, are there any statistics on how many have been carried out generally?
In Ireland, we know the figure's going up. Well, there are more doctors doing them now than there were when I started, obviously. I was the only doctor in the country doing them for about 3 years. Let's say now, I'd be doing about 500 a year, and let's say there's 20 doctors doing them, so you can multiply 500 by 20, and that'll give you a kind of an idea of the numbers being done annually in Ireland.
Now, two issues maybe that come to mind. What about people who would be, say, young and single? Do you think it's advisable for them if they want to have the option ahead? Is it, in other words, is it something that could be reversed?
It's more reversible now than it used to be because we have in vitro fertilization methods to reverse it a bit more successfully, but one should never do a vasectomy on somebody who's harboring thoughts of having it reversed at a later date. You just don't do that. As for young and single, it's more to do with demands maturity. You just eyeball him for a while, and you make sure that he understands what's happening. Sometimes you'll find yourself doing a vasectomy on a young man who may have a very bad family history of, let's say, schizophrenia or something, and he's anxious not to pass that on. And sometimes you find yourself doing a vasectomy on somebody who's got some learning disability. So, you know, it's the whole range of things. But typically, of course, the man is in his mid-30s and he's had a sufficient number of children.
Of the 30,000 cases that you've dealt with, have you had any or many that simply didn't work?
Oh, yeah, well, of course, you know, there is a failure rate of about 1%, or maybe a little less, but you usually pick this up at sperm count time. So you don't always do, and everybody has to understand that nothing is 100% in this world, and there have been some awful failures, and, you know, the vasectomist, that's me, and the person themselves, we all have to take a hit on that. And it can be quite difficult, to deal with people because there can be a lot of anger and so on. But that's the exception.
Right. Now, Bill, in his article in The Examiner, referred to a study at Harvard by scientists there who analysed medical records of nearly 50,000 men, and it showed that those who had had vasectomies were 10% more likely to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Now, that's something that might be considered to be thought-provoking. I don't know if you're familiar with that study or if you would disagree with it.
I'm not familiar with that study. I used another study that was done in Holland, 70,000 men, and they were followed for 20 years. I don't know how long they followed those men in Harvard, in that Harvard study. But all I can say is that I don't think that if there is an increased risk of prostate cancer following vasectomy. But I'll certainly look at that.
Right. And Bill, did that give you a pause for thought at all, that study?
That study was actually released about 4 weeks after I had the procedure done.
A bit late then.
It was a bit late. I had plenty of people emailing me to tell me about it. But genuinely, I don't think it would have changed my mind. You know, there's potential side effects with any medical procedure. Vasectomy is the same as any of those. And I just need to be aware going forward. Now, the statistics from the Harvard study show that it is very, very small incidence of it. So I just have to keep an eye on it and look after myself. But, I mean, as anyone who's lost someone to cancer will tell you, that, you know, it can come and get you no matter what. So I just have to be aware of it. But it wouldn't have stopped me, I can say that.
Okay, Bill Annan in Cork, thank you. Also, our thanks to Mary O'Connor, relationship counsellor, and to Dr. Andrew Rinn. Back with the latest twists and turns in the points race after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.